Welcome to the Light of Day podcast number 4. We got Bart Sobral on the line now. I want to read this email that Ian Punnett had put out from Tuesday, March 24th. It was addressed to me. Ian claims that Bart sounded like a nut when he said he was suspicious that the South American taxi driver caller was using a phony accent. Ian Punnett's sister-in-law is Cuban, and Ian grew up with her extended family, and they all spoke English like that. Ian found it interesting that a guy who wrote a book about moon photos would be able to get through on the line. Got news for Bart, the phones weren't that busy. There were many open lines when the guy called. And then he goes on, and now he claims that I have a suspicion that Ian got a call from somebody during the show that was pulling the strings. It just makes me and Bart sound loony. Ian had nothing to calm. Honestly, Ian hates to be this blunt, but since Sheldon seems to want to know, Ian got bored with his logic circles. Ian held Bart on longer because he wanted to be complete and fair, and Ian thought there was still some more to it, but then the calls were just, it is, it isn't, and it was getting tedious. Ian had Bart back later because Ian thought wrapping up that loose end would be interesting, but then it got boring again. And here's the kicker. The reason Ian wanted to stop all calls on the subject was because the 3-to-1 feedback Ian was getting was that this guy's an idiot and Ian didn't want to spend the night with callers trashing him. That's the harsh truth, according to Ian. He claims that I can do with this email whatever I want to, but Ian thought that he was doing Bart a favor by not taking calls all night from people poking more holes in his theories. Ian has no regrets and received high marks from everybody connected with the show with whom he spoke. And he ends up by saying, I'll rest on that. So what are your thoughts on that, Bart?
Well, I don't know the guy very well. I think it's natural to have two of the three people who call in be fans of the moon mission. I mean, throughout history, the minority has been right. I mean, while the majority of people thought the world was flat, it was the minority who said, no, it's round. You know, I mean, George Washington was killed by the scientists of his day when they were trying to bleed a virus out of him, and they ended up killing him. I mean, so the fact that the majority of people buy into the lie that the moon landings are real is not unusual, and that has been the case throughout history, that the masses are generally almost always wrong, and it's the minority of people pushing the front forward who end up being proven right, sometimes after they're dead. Now, I don't know Ian or anything about the show too much. I thought the guy did a respectable job. It's a confrontational topic. I was glad to be on the show. And the fact is my background is in theater and in doing character voices. And I didn't say that the guy's accent was entirely phony. It just sounded to me like it was being overemphasized a little bit, like he had relatives who spoke that way and he was doing a very good impression of them. That's just from my understanding of doing voiceovers and character voices myself. And when a guy, if you figure they have 15 million listeners and 1% of them might be wanting to call in, could be something like 150,000 people, and that the guy can be disconnected once and somehow immediately get through, and he was the most credible counter-argument who coincidentally was the very last person they had on, it sounded a little bit like a setup. Also, the guy misled me and the listeners into thinking that he had taken pictures or developed the pictures of astronauts on the surface of the moon. Come to find out, the pictures that he was referring to were of lunar orbit. And, of course, the pictures of lunar orbit were genuine. They were taken by unmanned probes, and they were claimed to be taken, you know, out the window by the Apollo astronauts. That's just, you know, so when the guy is examining these pictures and saying that they are authentic, the fact is he is correct. These were authentic pictures of lunar orbit. They certainly couldn't falsify the geographic position of craters on the moon. They had to make them authentic, and they did this by unmanned probes. You could even go to NASA's own archives and see pictures of a lunar model they had about the size of, gosh, maybe 5,000 square feet cubed that they used for simulating lunar landings. And they had, a precise geographic map of it with this perfect track around it for the astronauts to simulate lunar landing and then, of course, when everybody was out of there, they put a camera on the track and simulated the lunar orbit as well.
I kind of wanted to focus my interview, shifting it towards a different gear here a little bit. Were you ever on Michael Hersock's show or not?
You know, I've done so many shows, to tell you the truth, Sheldon, I don't remember which shows I've done and haven't done, for the large part, I'm afraid to say. So I may have done it. I don't know. You'd have to research it. But,
well, this would have been within the last week or so.
What's the name of his radio show?
The American Awakening with Michael Hersog.
Oh, no, that one's been postponed, I think, for one more week. He hadn't had a chance to see if anything happened on the way to the moon, which, by the way, is at moonmovie.com. And then my personal website is Sibrel, Sibrel.com. I like the name of the show. The American Awakening certainly sounds like something that needs to happen. And it's kind of interesting that the oldest technology, which is radio, ends up being the forefront of intellectual, truthful thinking. So he wanted a chance to actually watch the movie before he interviewed me about it, and I think that interview will be next week sometime.
I see. Well, anyway, I wanted to focus my interview with you tonight more about this supposed alleged asteroid that may be coming into our solar system, because you didn't get to talk about it that much on Ian's show, and I'd like for you to tell my audience exactly what your thoughts are on that and how you think the space shuttle missions are being, you know, put up in orbit to watch this thing coming in.
Well, when the space shuttle was on the drawing board, I think their original goal was to launch, even with the arsenal of 3 or 4 space shuttles, to launch twice a year. I mean, that was, like, going to be one of their biggest goals. If they could launch a space shuttle twice a year, they were going to consider that an amazing accomplishment. And over the last 10, 15, 20 years, they've been launching as many as 4 a year, sometimes 5 a year. And before you know it, there have been, I don't know, it seems like there were nearing 150 space shuttle launches in a fairly short amount of time. And, of course, putting people into orbit is very dangerous. It's killed 14 people so far. And it seems to me when they're at this pace, they're in a hurry to do something. People don't realize the launch 4 times a year is enormously fast. It's extremely dangerous to do, but the fatalities prove. And it seems to me they're in a hurry to do something, as if there's some self-imposed deadline. Now, having talked with the author of the book Planet X for several hours, he's a fan of the film A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Moon, we were kind of comparing notes about things that I had uncovered in my research about the moon landings being fraudulent. It certainly seems to me that there's something going on up there that they are very urgent about. And it certainly can't be a war, you know, going to occur from any other country, because I really don't think any country is interested in conquering the continental United States. So it has to be some sort of global catastrophe that they must be trying to avert. Now, you know, the most recent space shuttle launches apparently claim that it takes 3 days for the space shuttle to rendezvous with the space station. Seeing how it only took 3 days to go to the moon, allegedly, it seems kind of odd. It would take 3 days to go from the launch pad 200 miles up. You know, you can travel 200 miles in your car in a day, and somehow that they're being delayed from being able to synchronize with the space station. It seems to me they're doing something else up there with their time, that there might be 1 or 2 more space stations that are specifically designed for the intent of averting this global catastrophe that is apparently heading our direction. That could either be an asteroid, or it could be a comet, or if the Planet X author believes, it could be a planet that orbits between our star and our formerly dormant star that was discovered a few years back. They discovered that almost all the stars in the heavens are binary systems, so that every star has a mate. And so as they started coming to that conclusion and searching for our sun's mate, they couldn't find one, and then finally the latest radio telescope discovered a burned-out star. And so it's believed that we were in this binary system a couple of billion years ago, and there is a planet that orbits between both star systems in kind of a comet-like orbit, and it's estimated to be 3,600 years apart, and that this pattern would be causing the global catastrophes that are recorded historically and in the Bible, like the flood of Noah and things like that, could have been caused by the passing of this planet, which changes the poles of the Earth and causes the continents to potentially shift halfway around the, you know, the world in a day, causing earthquakes, tidal waves, floods, things like that. If it's a planet that's coming our direction, it's my personal opinion that it's going to collide with the Earth rather than come close, as they estimate. In which case, the Bible quote of laying the elements bare will be utterly true, and that there will be no escape. I mean, if there were a planet coming by that causes the amount of damage that they estimate, or a comet, or an asteroid, it would kill at least 90% of humans on the Earth, largely because they live near the coastal areas and the tidal wave effect. It's going to collide with the Earth, and of course there's no hope for anyone. And we know from the discovery of the impact of the that killed the dinosaurs about 65 million years ago, I think that was discovered off the coast of Cancun maybe 5 years ago, that asteroid was 3.5 miles across, and it killed 90% of life on Earth and changed the climate for 10,000 years. Now, they recently sent a couple of probes to asteroids, one by the United States and one by Japan. And the one they sent the probe to by the United States, I guess, about 4 or 5 years ago, they had worked on this probe, it seemed like, for about, you know, 5 to 10 years, and I'm sure it cost $5 billion or something like that. And they made it seem incidental that a week beforehand they came up with this brilliant idea to try to land the probe on the asteroid. Now, it seems to me if you're spending billions of dollars and half a decade or more designing this thing, you're not going to come up with the idea to land on it, you know, a few days before you do it. It seemed like they made that claim to make the landing on it appear incidental, which means that that was its utter intent to begin with. They were either attempting to destroy it immediately by having some sort of nuclear device on it or pushing it away or something like that. Now, the interesting thing is that when they send a probe to an asteroid, and seeing how we know the moon landings are fraudulent, this is actually the most difficult space mission ever accomplished. To be able to land on a heavenly body that's relatively small that far away, we're talking about, I don't remember how far away, but something like maybe 50 to 200 million miles away. I mean, it's an amazing amount of technological achievement, if that's what happened. And the one that they chose to land on, I'm sure, wasn't selected randomly. I mean, they didn't just stick a pin on the asteroid belt and decide randomly to land on this particular asteroid. I'm sure there was a reason why.
Hey, Bart.
Now, they acknowledge it's a near-Earth asteroid, but they don't really acknowledge the significance of it. But I think there had to be significance as to why they chose to land on it. Now, this particular one is about 3.5 times bigger than the one that killed 90% of life on Earth and changed the climate for 10,000 years. So you can imagine it would have 3.5 times or greater the impact of disaster. And then, of course, Japan sent a probe to an asteroid recently as well. And it looks like something's going on. And I think the global climate of this being the financial disaster or whatever you want to call it, it's the billionaires who are in the circle of these military people, in their social circles, who have gotten wind of what's coming down the pike. So everyone is pulling back their money, hedging their bets, and that's why there's been this escape of $50 trillion from the economy. You know, what people fail to point out is that money doesn't just get thrown into a fireplace and burn up. It just changes hands. So when someone loses $50 trillion, that means someone gained $50 trillion. Now, these people who are causing this global, you know, setback, I believe, are hedging their bets and they're beginning to hoard their resources because they have heard what's coming down the pike. Now, eventually, this is going to trickle down to the point where stores are going to be broken into and people are going to have firearms at their local grocery store and glasses will be broken. But apparently this is happening, you know, early on, or a little bit further down the chain of command here, and that's, you know, what's coming down the pike. That's my estimate of it.
Yeah, and you had also told me over the phone about how this asteroid was symbolic or shaped like a man's penis, and you said that was symbolic of something. Can you elaborate on that?
My personal belief is in God and in Jesus and in a creation and in a judgment to come. And the gentleman who wrote the book Planet X had never read the Bible. And I have read the Bible all the way through, and oddly enough, the things that he says would scientifically happen if the planet just came close to the Earth are exactly the same geographical phenomena that the Bible describes. For instance, he says that there will be great earthquakes and tidal waves. Well, the Bible says that there will be signs in the heaven, there will be things falling from the skies, the moon will be turned red as whatever trails in front of it causes it to become red. It says that every island will disappear, is what the Bible says. That is to be from the tidal waves. It says every mountain will flee its place. It says there will be greater earthquakes than have ever been from the beginning of time. And that's exactly what this gentleman says will happen. He also said that hailstones of about 100 pounds would fall from the sky because the atmosphere would freeze instantaneously everywhere. Well, that's what the Bible says. It says as the end is coming, hailstones of 75 pounds or more will fall from the sky. And I think mankind's, you know, biggest trip up, I mean, you have these great leaders in history. I won't go into names because they're not here to defend themselves, but there are great leaders throughout history who the one thing that always trips them up is sexual immorality. So I thought it was kind of ironic that the one the U.S. sent the probe to was named Eros, you know, for the god of sex. It's kind of phallic shape. But I think also the one that the Japanese probe was sent to is very phallic shape as well. That this sin that seems to plague mankind from the beginning of time, which is sexual immorality and the lack of faithfulness, the person on earth you're supposed to be most faithful to, that this is going to be the cause of our destruction.
How often do you think that it'll be until this asteroid comes in?
Well, everyone's heard of the 2012 dilemma and, you know, trying to figure out where did that initially come from. A lot of people believe that came from the Mayan calendar. I think the oldest interpretation of it is actually correct, which is that it's 2011 and not 2012. The Mayan civilization, which was very similar to the Egyptians in that they had a great grasp of astronomy, could predict solar eclipses, for instance. They could predict 1,500 years in advance to the exact day, time of day, and location on the Earth before it happened. So when someone who can do that predicts the end of the world, I want to, you know, take note of it. The Mayans predicted the end of the world that's occurring on December 23rd, 2011. Now, some people believe that to be 2012. I think that's incorrect. I think the most accurate interpretation of that is 2011. Now, the Bible says that Jesus' second coming will come in an hour when people least expect it. They will be celebrating and partying and reveling. And, you know, where we are on the international dateline is different than most of the world. I mean, the Mayans basically fall in the same path as the continental United States as far as clock time. For most of the world, that would be Christmas Eve. Now, as most people understand it, Christmas is the celebration of Jesus, right? But if that were true, then little children would sit in the lap of Jesus in the mall and tell Jesus what they wanted for Christmas. The fact is that it's a pagan holiday about materialism. The United States spends about $450 billion a year on Christmas presents to give to each other, when it would only take about $30 billion to provide clean drinking water for all the planet, three-quarters of which doesn't have it. And it's the cause of 30,000 people dying a day because they don't have clean drinking water. So we have this ability, multiples of this ability, you know, 10 to 12 times this ability in Christmas presents to save humanity from dying from bad drinking water, and we fail to do it. We just get sucked into this materialism. And, of course, Christmas was the winter solstice, not the birth of Jesus, which was estimated to actually take place in August. That this is a pagan holiday worshiping the sun god. And how ironic, for most of the world, it would be the celebration of Christmas Eve. December 23rd, for most of the world, in the Americas, is December 24th, for those in Europe and Asia. And that potentially this incoming object is going to occur at that time. Now, the Bible does say no one knows about that hour. Now, I don't know whether that means they don't know that hour exactly or they don't know exactly what's going to happen on that hour. It certainly seems to me that a lot of biblical events, a lot of scientific events, a lot of events happening in our government are all lining up at the same time. For example, in your newsletter and radio show, you point out that there are all these prisons being consolidated, it looks like, in barren areas out west. Well, it seems to me if the government knew they were going to have to have intense martial law, one of the practical things to do would be to centralize the prison system. And right now, I think in America, we've got 2 million prisoners at all levels, the federal, state, and county bureaucracy. And so why not, just like in the days of World War II and the prison camps that we had here, centralize the prison system? Yeah, you don't want to execute people who commit petty crimes or drug crimes, so you round them all up and you throw them in one area and you make that easy to take care of. You've also pointed out in a recent newsletter that they're FEMA or whoever is preparing for millions of casualties at a time. You know, the fact is, not only does science line up, but not only these events happening in our government line up, and not only does the Bible line up, you know, art imitates life. And in the film, what's it called, The Deep Impact, we have, you know, an African-American president presiding at the time of this particular incoming event. And here we have, for the first time in American history, an African-American president presiding when these events look like they're going to take place. And, you know, I don't know how is the right way to handle it. But I presume eventually we're just going to trickle down to the point where the government is just going to have to admit it, and they're going to have martial law, and either it's going to be a comet, asteroid, or planet, or Jesus' second coming, or all of the above is going to happen in the near future. And the Bible prophesies that when the word of God and the gospel has been preached to all nations, the end will then come. And now with mass communication and mass transit and the internet and churches sending out supplemental churches to plant other churches in, you know, the countries of their origin, it looks like that is about to happen. So it looks like we're living in an important time. You know, the most important quarter of a football game is the last quarter. For all we know, we're in the last 5 or 10 minutes of the last quarter. So if I would get out your Bibles and read them and pray and repent and do what's right, and then we're all going to perish anyway, even if nothing happens in 2012 and 2011, and even if all of this ends up being smoke like the Y2K bug, we're all still going to perish anyway. And we're all going to die of old age or in a car crash or whatever. But we all need to really be thinking about these things because, you know, Jesus is coming, which is like a thief in the night, could be our own mortality. Even a guy on death row doesn't know when he's going to die because of the appeals process. He could be there for 20 years. So we're all going to face our mortality. So I think it's a good thing to think about. And I would say the likelihood of something happening in the next, you know, 3 years or 1 to 4 years is probably at least a third, you know. And when I started researching the moon landing fraud, I said there was a 1 out of 4 chance that they were fake, and it ended up being a 100% chance. So right now I'm saying there's a 1 out of 3 chance that there's a global catastrophe heading our way, probably from outer space, in the next, you know, 1 to 3 or 4 years. So I would definitely get ready for it.
Have you thought about doing, like, producing a new DVD that would talk about this asteroid coming in and how the shuttle missions may be monitoring this thing?
Well, I don't have any plans right now about that other than doing a few interviews like this about it. I think you've got an excellent newsletter that goes out and radio show, and it's really amazing the information that's in it. And I presume the only reason they let you keep doing it is you're just thrown into the pile of conspiracy nut like the rest of us, you know, which is still a minority. I mean, the percentage of people who thought the moon landing was fake in 1969 was 10%. Now, that's a pretty good sized population. I guess back then there were about 200 million Americans. So you're saying 20 million adults.
Hey, Bart.
You know,
I wanted to interject and let you know that the audio is not coming across as clear as it was like when you were on Coast to Coast. It sounds kind of watery.
Okay.
Are you on a cell phone or a landline?
I'm on a cell phone.
Okay. I guess we'll just have to live with it because that's the only phone you got, right?
Yeah.
Well, continue with your thoughts, please.
Well, it looks like something's coming down the pike, and all the things that you pointed out, you know, in your newsletter of these things, these odd things that are happening, you know, I've heard them elsewhere as well, and it's like, you know, something's happening. Something's coming down the pike. The government did fake the moon landing. And because they have not come forward about that, it means they are not interested in telling the public what's going on. You know, if they were, they would have told us that the moon landings are fake. So they're certainly not going to tell us if there's some global catastrophe, because they're going to want to get their food out of the grocery store first, ahead of us. And basically what is happening is you have these intellectuals who presumably are racist, who think that they are better than other people, whether it be white people, black people, or poor people, or rich people, or Catholics, or Baptists, or whatever their thinking is, and they're ending up hoarding the truth. The way that I look at it, even if you could go to the moon and plant a flag on this dead rock that was the nearest heavenly body to us, you know, that would hold a certain level of significance historically to mankind. But if you couldn't go, and out of your pride, you didn't want to admit that you made a goal that you could not reach, and therefore you falsified it, you embezzled billions of taxpayer dollars, you murdered people to keep it a secret, to me, that's more profound of an event than if they had actually gone. So here we have one of the greatest events in human history is actually the faking of the moon landing. And now we have this great historical event that the public cannot learn from, that we cannot grow from, we cannot know, because people are hoarding the truth. And what I came to discover a few months ago is that the moon landing, the TV images, were using non-linear editing. Now, that's a computer-based film editing or video editing that I only got about 10 years ago. And so they had this technology 40 years ago, the government did. Now, you have to wonder, if they had that technology 30 years ahead of the professionals, then what other technology have they had and do they have that is, you know, 30 years or more advanced? Medical, you know, potentiality to heal disease that they apparently don't want to heal because they have racist views of certain types of people, and who knows what else. But it looks like the Bilderberg Group or all that ends up being true, that there are the billionaires and trillionaires of the world who are pulling the strings, and they certainly don't care about the rest of us. If they did, we'd have more of an open society, and they wouldn't be faking the moon landing and still to this day refusing to tell the truth about it.
This may kind of surprise you, but on my website, if you go to my archives miscellaneous subpage, you'll go scroll to the bottom, and you'll see this man named Dr. Peter Beter. He put out some audio letters back in the late 70s, and into the early 80s, and he mentioned that the first few space shuttle missions were secret military missions, and that, you know, John Young and Bob Crippen were the commander and pilot on the first shuttle mission, and he said that launch was actually destroyed before it got to orbit. And one of the astronauts you interviewed, John Young, is actually a clone. You may have been actually encountered a clone. What do you think of that?
I don't know. I mean, there's so many conspiracy theories, so little time. You know, I'm not sure. That seems a little far-fetched, but then again, you never know. If they had technology that's 30 years advanced as far as, you know, video intelligence technology, maybe their cloning technology is 30 years advanced as well. Do you think you can do in vitro fertilization today? Could you clone somebody 30 years from now? I suppose you might be able to do that. I don't know. I know that they can't be trusted. And I know that our government is corrupt beyond belief, that the world is corrupt beyond belief, that there are things going on in society that it seems to me people have been infiltrated, blackmailed, bribed, so that there is, you know, amazing control over the masses, that it's overt, subliminal, you know, manipulation. You look at television and the film Network that I guess came out around 1970 that implored people to throw their TVs out the window and to smash them. And now you look at just the obesity of America that's perpetuated by the constant barrage of pizza and burger commercials, and it just, you just wonder what's going on. And, you know, you watch the evening news, which is, you know, the prime time of television advertising, and almost all the ads are about drugs. You know, the multi-billion-dollar pharmaceutical companies are trying to get you fat and then hooked on being fat and then hooked on the anti-fat drug. I mean, something weird is going on. I don't know what it is. You know, I try to stay on one thing at a time. I don't generally go off onto the cloning, you know, tangent or aliens from outer space. I don't know. I mean, I do know that there are weird things going on and that the government can't be trusted.
You don't think we've ever been to the moon, not even before the Apollo 1 fire? You don't think we had secret technology to go to the moon before the Apollo 1 flight?
Right now I don't have anything that would lead me to believe that. It would seem to me it'd be very hard to launch something that could reach the moon or build a space station outside of human eyes. So they would have to basically be launching in public view and then covering what the reason for that launch would be for other things, like the space shuttle. You know, the cargo in the space shuttle is probably secretive 90% of the time or more. So as far as they're having launch platforms there, who knows what, or other space stations, I think that's possible. It seemed to me that the space race was genuine, and that the ability to launch a satellite, Sputnik, I think in 1957, was genuine and an accomplishment. And then to put a man up into orbit, I think in 61, was a genuine accomplishment. And I don't know that they could go to the moon. I don't think they can go to the moon now with the technology. There's still the Van Allen radiation belt that would have to be overcome. They'd have to build the space station first. They'd have to ferry up an enormous amount of fuel. They'd have to ferry up the lead shielding in order to protect the astronauts. And then they'd have to have a reason to go. I mean, even if they ferried up all that fuel and ferried up all that lead to protect them, why even go? And they would even probably realize there's no really benefit in going to the moon. I mean, it's a dead rock. It just doesn't serve much of a purpose. We'd be better off if you were using outer space for military purposes, just using Earth orbit, because all of your enemies are here on Earth. So I don't know why you'd want your missiles to be even further away from their targets by placing them on the moon. That's my personal opinion at this hour. You know, I don't know. Seems to me that the moon landings were fake simply because they did not have the technology to go. And all of this thought that a lot of intellectual factions have, that, well, they really sent secret crews to the moon because there's alien artifacts there. To me, anything that diverts people's belief into thinking we went to the moon, even secretly, even with other crews, because of aliens from outer space or the boogeyman, it still says we went to the moon, which is what NASA and the government want Americans to think, that we went to the moon. So if they can convince the UFO community that they went to the moon, but secretly because of UFO reasons or whatever, it still misleads people into thinking we went to the moon when in fact we did not.
So why do you think there's an agenda going on, why they want the public to get into their consciousness that, yes, indeed, we're being visited by aliens and that they're out there and this and that?
Well, my personal belief is that the radiation belt that surrounds the Earth that prevents us from leaving Earth orbit, which is, for your listeners, is, you know, about 1,000 miles up, and it extends about 25,000 miles, and all the orbital missions are well below that, at generally around 200 miles. That this also paradoxically protects the Earth from solar and galactic radiation, so that you have to have this field in order to have life on the planet. So if there is life out there on other planets, then they're going to have a radiation field, too, that would also prevent them from leaving their planet. Plus, we could say there are, you know, 50 planets out there with intelligent life. If you disperse them on average throughout the cosmos, at something like 30 million light years apart from each other. So, I mean, if you can travel at the speed of light, it will take you 30 million years to reach the next civilization on average. And I think that if there is life out there, God probably wanted us to mind our own business, to take care of our planet. There's also the possibility that people fail to recognize, which is that we're it, that Earth is a unique in the universe, and we're the only intelligent life of its kind anywhere in the universe. People fail to realize that that's a possibility also. You know, when you have insurance on your car in the back of your mind, you know it's kind of safe to speed and safe to drive recklessly because you know you'll be taken care of. And I think by believing in aliens from outer space, it kind of lets us off the hook about seeing the preciousness of life on Earth. I mean, if God came down from the heavens and appeared and said to the world, by the way, you are the only life in the entire universe, I think there'd be a bigger push toward ending all war and all famine. You know, somehow this alien, we're part of a universal cosmos of aliens or whatever in a society, takes us off the hook from treasuring the preciousness of Earth. I also think it's a great way for the government to divert our attention from real things that are going on. I mean, if they, let's say, a satellite crashes down in the United States and it's a Soviet spy satellite, well, rather than let the Soviets know that we have their coded technology that's on board, we throw out this rumor that it's an alien spacecraft, and that sends, you know, conspiracy buffs down this tangent on, ooh, an alien spacecraft, you know, crash landed somewhere in America, when in fact it could have just been a spy satellite from the enemy. I think this whole UFO thing can be manipulated by the government to send us off on tangents and misdirection that they want us to be. I mean, for example, let's take our news media. We know now there is less independent media than there ever was. I mean, during Nixon's administration, when they faked the moon landing, there was actually, you know, a greater chance that the truth would have come out than it is now, where Reagan deregulated it, and now, you know, one person can own mass amounts of media, print, television, radio, and all of this. And so the History Channel, and that's probably owned by one of the major networks that owns, you know, all the media, they keep, you know, putting out the Apollo, you know, anniversary films every year. They want us to keep believing the lie that the moon landings are real, when in fact they are not real. So it's the same station is trying to get us, I mean, you know, this week on the History Channel, they're talking about UFO bases in the ocean. I mean, so why would the station that's telling us to lie that the moon landings are real when in fact they're fake, why would we trust them to send us down the tangent of believing that there are alien bases under the ocean? I mean, that's just going to divert our time and attention away from other things. And so I don't think they can be trusted.
No, Bart,
you know, I think that if there were aliens from outer space and they wanted to invade us, they would have done it already. Now, I could be wrong. At the same time, I would not trust the History Channel, because if they could be trusted, they would be doing documentaries about how the moon landing was fraudulent. So if they're putting out documentaries about the UFO and alien boogeyman everywhere, I suspect that because that's what they want us to believe, which means it's not true. Which means, you know, they just want us to go down this tangent. While it's very simple, you know, there may be life out there, but it can never reach us, and we can never reach it. And all of the squirreliness that's going on is very simple. It has to do with deceit and greed and corruption of our own government, not aliens from outer space. It's just the greed of our own people. I mean, they would love for us to believe that there was some reason other than their own immorality and their own greed and their own debauchery that they faked the moon landing. Because if it's aliens from outer space, it takes the blame off them. You know, the simple fact is that it's their fault. They faked the moon landing because of fear, because of their pride and inability to admit they're wrong, because of their greed of wanting to suck in this money and divert it to their own personal projects, because of their racism, wanting to obliterate countries that aren't really meddling with the United States. That's the reason why. You know, the enemy is us. So the enemy is the military-industrial complex, as Eisenhower warned about. You know, I mean, why would Eisenhower, a general, and I think my personal opinion is generals make great presidents, because they're not armchair warriors. They have been there. They have seen the men that they eat with be slaughtered. They have seen their bodies go home to their widows and orphan children. They know the cost of war. They do not go to war lightly like these armchair warriors who keep, you know, who have been in the National Guard Reserve and start sending off, you know, hundreds of thousands of troops to their death for, you know, for countries that aren't invading the continental United States. Eisenhower, you know, realized that there should not be a War Department when there is no war. During World War II, all the military, all that was called the War Department. Why? Because there was a war. We had to defend our allies. There was a justified reason to do it. We were attacked, and so we went to war. And now that the war had ended in 1945, it was Eisenhower's belief, and he was a, you know, World War II general, that there should no longer be a War Department when there's no reason for it. But they had made so much money, the Ford Motor Company and GE and who else was making all this money, they wanted to constantly have an enemy boogeyman so they could have an excuse for, you know, for spending this money. I mean, I just saw over the shoulder of someone reading the newspaper the other day, you know, it talks about the $3.5 trillion budget. It says the vast majority of the money is going to the military. They're talking about the vast majority of this $3.5 trillion is going to the War Department when we are not at war. I mean, the war on terror is erroneous. It's like the war on obesity, you know, or the war on illiteracy. It will always be here. There is not a single country on the earth interested in attacking an ally of ours or the continental United States. That is a simple fact. So why are we spending the vast majority of the resources of our country on the military-industrial complex? And Eisenhower, a World War II general, when he became president, right before, you know, Kennedy was to take over on January, I guess that would be 1961, his last words, he pleaded with the American people, save yourself from the military-industrial complex. And that's exactly the machinery that Kennedy was going to try to disassemble, and that's why he got killed. It's that same machinery that faked the moon landing, the same machinery that is, you know, doing the squirrely things in Afghanistan and in Iraq, and it's the same machinery that's up there claiming that it takes 3 days to go from the Earth to the space station.
So, Bart, what do you think they're putting on the space station? Do you think they're putting on, like, directed energy weapons to shoot at this asteroid coming in?
Yes, I do. I think they're rightfully trying to defend the planet and our country from disaster, and that's money well spent. You know, and I don't even think it's necessarily wrong to keep that a secret. I mean, you have to, you know, if you're a righteous government, and there are a lot of good people, I mean, let's not put down all the government. I mean, there are a lot of good people in the government. But what we have to understand is there are 20 million government employees in the United States at the federal, state, and local level. Now, if 10% of them are corrupt, it's 10%. That's an army of 2 million corrupt government people. If only 1% of them are corrupt, that's an army of 200,000 executives in the government who are pulling the strings. Now, if there's an object coming in, certainly we need to develop a technology to thwart it. There's nothing wrong with that. And there's nothing necessarily wrong with keeping that a secret to the masses when they don't need to necessarily worry about it ahead of time. I mean, you're going to have to feed the population, and there would be runs on the stores and groceries and all that stuff. And you got to figure a reasonable way of working that out. At the same time, they faked the moon landing nearly 40 years ago, and they haven't come clean about that. So it seems to me that the evil people, not the good people, are still pulling the strings in the government. Now, for my wacky adventures and, you know, being in the moon hoax, you know, arena for about a decade, it has come to my attention very recently that there is a civil war going on in our government while we speak. This war could have been going on from 1865 or 1914, who knows what, but there's an actual civil war going on in our government right now as we speak between two or three factions. And well, they have rules, you know, spy rules amongst themselves, and everyone keeps completely forgetting that our founding fathers warned us that there are two enemies of the state, two. There's foreign and there's domestic. And this whole, the boogeyman is in Libya, or the boogeyman is in Iraq, or the boogeyman is wherever, Afghanistan, that's complete misdirection by untrustworthy government officials. Half of our enemies are in this country. And I can see from my adventures that there are good factions in the government fighting against them. You know, we claim to be a country that follows God, that follows Jesus. Well, Jesus, our Lord, you know, 90% of the people in Congress or more, or 90% of the senators and 90% of the citizens claim that they are Christians. Well, Jesus said to love your enemy. You know, instead of bombing people, why don't we send them, you know, medical aid and throw burning poles on their head that way? You know?
That's interesting.
Why don't we tell the truth? The truth will set us free.
Yeah, that's,
you know,
interesting.
The father of lies.
That's interesting you brought up that date, 1865, because I, based on my current research now, we haven't been living under the Constitution since 1865, and that's why they can get away with whatever they want, like Obama illegally getting into office. It's because they don't go by the Constitution at all.
Well, I don't know that he's illegally in office, my personal opinion, and again, even though I'm in the conspiracy nutbag with a lot of people, you know, I do like to give people the benefit of the doubt. I do like to believe that there are good people out there trying to do what's right. And I think Obama is one of those people. I think that's why the oath of office was misadministered. You know, I don't think that was an accident. I don't think, you know, it's not much to remember. I can remember it by hearing, you know, the Kennedy speech a couple of times. He promised to preserve and protect and defend the Constitution of the United States, oh my God. You know, that they were trying to find some technicality to get this guy out of office. And I believe that if it were true that he were genuinely born in Kenya or whatever, as the, you know, web rumor goes, then they would definitely get him out of office. Now, it seems to me there's a lot of energy directed toward getting Obama out of office, which to me is indicating that he's on the side of doing what's right, because it would then be the evil forces who are trying to spread these rumors that he's not an American citizen, that he didn't take the office right, that whatever, whatever, because I think the guy is a genuine reformer, that the guy wants to do what's right, and that, you know, that they didn't fake the election, that he had been playing ball. But then again, you have to remember that Mikhail Gorbachev, who probably changed the 20th century more than any other person, he played ball and kept his mouth shut until he was in a position to do something about it. And I think Obama could be that type of person. And that's why they don't like him. That's why they're trying to discredit him. That's why there have even been people taking over the moonmovie.com website saying bad things about Obama on the website without permission. And, you know, it just seems kind of odd that anybody like me or you that they call nut, call, you know, a lack of a patriot, those are the people you should probably put your trust in because someone is trying to discredit them, which means they probably are up to good.
And what are your thoughts, Bart, on weather modification? You think that's a reality that's going on?
Sure. Weather modification has been going on for a long time. And if the technology, you know, what was so shocking when I found out, you know, like a month ago, that they had nonlinear editing during the you know, the TV transmissions of the moon images, you know, I'm thinking, oh my God, they're sitting on 30 years of technology that's more advanced than what we realize. As much as we can have video cell phones and these computers and, you know, and vitro fertilization, there's at least 30 years technology that's ahead of that. There's no question that the military is going to develop any weapon they can spend their trillions on. I mean, they're kids in a candy store. You know, they're developing weapons that have the impact of a nuclear explosion without the fallout of nuclear radiation, called Thor's hammer, where they drop a 3-foot titanium rod from sub-Earth orbit and direct it on top of a city. It achieves, you know, terminal velocity of an asteroid, 40,000 miles an hour, whatever it is, and they can control, they can wipe out a city by dropping a titanium object on it, and then they can immediately send in ground troops because there's no fear of radioactive fallout. And, of course, they would be trying to direct hurricanes and cause thunderstorms and tornadoes and who knows what else against the enemy, earthquakes. Why not? I mean, they're not going to be sitting idly by on the nuclear bomb and have that as the threshold weaponry. I'm sure they've been doing things since then.
Well, I was recently listening to a show of them that Darren Weeks did from 2004 or 2005. He's got his own show on Republic Broadcasting Network every Saturday morning called Govern America, and he mentioned that the U.S. military was testing this tsunami bomb back in about 1945, and that was back in 1945, and they thought that the tests of those were quite successful.
Yeah, there's no telling what they could do with tidal waves. They could put a nuclear bomb strategically located under the ocean and create a tidal wave. Based on that, I mean, has anyone thought about that? I mean, don't they realize that's what would happen? Set an explosion down into the earth or near the earth, or drill it down a half a mile or whatever, set off a nuclear explosion, it triggered like an earthquake, it caused a tidal wave. You could do that. It could have been done already. I mean, who knows? They could direct potentially the path of a hurricane. They could even potentially create a hurricane and then make it stronger, weaker. You know, they're doing something with all these space shuttle flights, and a lot of them are military weapons that are doing things from outer space. There's spy satellites, and they're direct energy weapons. They're things to prevent, you know, incoming objects from colliding with the Earth. There's a whole bunch of stuff up there. I mean, they've done, coming up on, it seems like, 150 launches. So you got to figure at least three-quarters of those were military payloads, if not more. So there's about 100 weapons up there, you know. For spy satellites, there are things that are a combination of both.
Well, after what I had discussed with you about the research Dr. Judy Wood has done into the World Trade Center collapse and how she believes that there was a hurricane, or there really was a hurricane outside New York City called Hurricane Erin, and her research in the directed energy weapons bringing those towers down. What do you think about that now?
I don't know. To me, the most suspicious thing about the 9/11 event was Building 7 collapsing also. The fact that the guy who built the building, I mean, the architectural engineer, was asked in an interview just weeks beforehand what would happen if the plane hit the building. He said 10 planes could hit the building and it would stand. It would be like throwing a pencil through a screen door and they would just poke a hole in it. So, you know, you could try to come up with the pancake effect for the first couple of buildings, but then why would Building 7 that just caught fire collapse also? And why would the debris be so quickly be collected and disposed of in a way that wasn't available to anybody? It was like there was something about the debris that left traces of the cause of the event, and they wanted to destroy it. So that seems suspicious. We know that the moon landings are fake. We know that they refused to come forward and tell the truth about it. Therefore, those same people and their offspring are in government doing squirrely things. So I wouldn't be surprised if 9/11 had some other, you know, agenda. Well, I mean, there are people who think that the government knew that Pearl Harbor attack was coming down the pike. I mean, that was in the newspaper a few days beforehand, that Pearl Harbor might be attacked, as sources say. And the public was very much against getting involved in World War II. There was already that war going on in Europe, and it was, seemed like, two-thirds of the public did not want to get involved. They had already remembered the Great War, you know, World War One, getting involved in that catastrophe, and they did not want to get involved. So there needed to be public support. And certainly when someone, you know how prideful people get, and, you know, when someone pushes you, you want to push back. When someone punches you, you want to punch back. When someone breaks into your house, you want to shoot them. And so who's to say that the government didn't let Pearl Harbor happened, that they knew it was going to happen, and they wanted the public to be enraged, and they wanted, you know, to go to war. It seems odd to me that the two most important ships were sent out right before that attack happened. The two aircraft carriers, the most valuable ships, you know, there, were sent away so they wouldn't be destroyed. So, you know, who knows? Certainly the government is trying to control the opinions of the masses. That has always been the case. And that's been the case in World War II. That's been the case during the moon landings, and that's the case now. They're trying to manipulate what the public thinks. And that's why deregulation of the media was so critical for their agenda. I mean, those laws were put into place for a reason. I mean, there were very specific laws, like one individual cannot own more than three TV stations, period. You know, or can only own one newspaper and a TV station, or not both. I mean, there are very narrow guidelines about that. And those were completely thrown out the window in the 1980s, so that you could have, you know, a handful of people controlling absolutely every media resource in America. And, you know, the fact is, that's what Americans watch, read, and listen to. American media, they don't listen to the BBC or to, you know, these Asian networks. Controlled by five people who are the billionaires who help elected officials get into office, then we're going to be told exactly what we're going to be told. I mean, I heard on Comedy Central, on The Daily Show, of all places, this is about 3 years ago, that $5 billion in cash that was sent over to Iraq for infrastructure got misplaced. But they sent over there $200 billion in cash, I think it was $50 billion in cash, which was 200 tons of $100 bills. Now, of that, $5 billion in cash got lost. Now, this is reported as a true news story that they were making fun of. I mean, how do you lose 200 pallets of $100 bills? It seems to me that that is the greatest heist in world history. You have $5 billion in cash being stolen from an army warehouse, and it's never reported in the news. I mean, Anna Nicole's death is reported as the top story for 4 weeks.
Hey, Bart.
$5 billion in cash stolen, it's never reported.
Hey, Bart.
Yes?
Remember about, what was about maybe two or three years ago, they had all these missing Apollo 11 videotapes disappeared. Do you remember that?
Yeah, I guess it was about 2 to 3 years ago when Ron Howard was doing a 70-millimeter IMAX movie to commemorate the moon landings, because he sincerely thinks they are real. He wanted to get all of the TV images, which was the vast majority of minute time of recordings, was actually television, not film footage, which is much shorter, higher quality, but there was much fewer of that. So he asked from the National Archives in Washington for all of this footage to be transferred. Well, apparently, what we saw on TV in the 1960s and early 70s was probably one-fifth of the quality that was available. They had data longitudinal tape, VLC tape, that were virtually digital quality, and that were 4 to 5 times the resolution that had ever before been seen. Well, Ron Howard asked for all this stuff to be transferred before the one and only machine that can read them and transfer them to DVD is disassembled. Well, it seems to me if you really went to the moon, you would say, absolutely, yes, sir, Ron Howard. We're going to transfer this for you ourselves and give you 5 copies of each one just to show you how great the moon landings are. Well, days before, you know, that deadline was to have all the stuff transferred, we're talking about 1 to 3 tons of videotapes were lost from the hermetically sealed National Archives in Washington, D.C. That's the building where the Declaration of Independence is stored. Now, if they can keep that document, which is 200 years older, surely they can keep up with 35 to 40-year-old documents and the tons of material. And all of this stuff got misplaced. I mean, if you go rent from Blockbuster his latest movie, I think it was called Man on the Moon or whatever it is, 90% of the movie are reenactments. I mean, because there's so little actual footage from the moon landing. And right before this stuff was to be projected nationwide on IMAX at 5 times the resolution, they lost it all because the TV sets were of lower quality than the still picture sets, which is what most people saw in the magazines days after the moon missions. They saw these crystal clear images of fairly high quality still picture sets. But the TV sets were of much lower quality because they didn't have to be that good, and they had to do these 360-degree panoramics. And so to transfer that at 4 to 5 times the resolution, who knows what would have showed up. They didn't let a single image from any of the TV images from any of the moon missions be transferred at that higher rate, not a single one. They lost it. Now, this makes the news as kind of like a sub-court story in the news. Oh, by the way, NASA is so inept. They lost every single original TV image from every single moon mission. Oh, well, how inept can they be? If they're that inept to do, they can't control things on the ground, how could they possibly control things 250,000 miles away? You know, something has gone wrong here. People do not realize that you do not lose 1 to 3 tons of material in the hermetically sealed International Archives unless you want to deliberately, which means they did not want that stuff to be transferred at the higher rate and projected on these huge screens to show that they were fake sets. That's the reason why. And no one does anything about it. No one puts two and two together because the public is so, you know, gaga over the pride involved in people's hearts. So saying, oh, I was there, I saw it on TV, I wept, I cried, I waved my flag. It's like trying to tell somebody that their own mother, you know, murdered 5 people before they were born. Even if it were true, they would never open their eyes to seeing that fact. Not my mom. They're saying not my government would never be that corrupt, that audacious. And people just fail to see the fact when they're right in front of their eyes because they're so emotionally tied in to this glory of putting a man on the moon that they feel somehow a part of.
There's supposed moon rocks inside glass enclosures at various museums and that. Where did those rocks come from?
Well, as von Braun, the senior rocket scientist, was on this deadline to build the rocket, he had time to take trips to Antarctica shortly before the moon missions, where he retrieved, you know, hundreds of pounds of lunar samples. Antarctica is filled with lunar meteorites, and they're really easy to find, and he went there and collected up a whole bunch of them right before the moon missions. What a coincidence. It's also a federal crime to be in possession of a moon rock, so there's really no independent verification. And if you go to James McCanney's website to do a search on him, I mean, he's a scientist, I think he's an MIT graduate, a Cornell University professor, and he says, you know, his main reason for doubting them is simply that there's no independent verification. I mean, 10 years ago, someone claimed to have enabled cold fusion But when they said, well, show it to us again, it couldn't be done. The fact is that Japan, the Soviet Union, China, Israel, France, England, no one has independently verified that America did, in fact, land on the moon. The only proof that we have are these TV images, which have now been lost, and these rocks, which are illegal to own and examine independently, and the claim of free people who could easily be bribed or blackmailed. There's no independent verification that the moon landing took place. I mean, people don't realize that when Lindbergh flew across the Atlantic in 1928, it was only weeks later before someone else, you know, replicated that event. When the sound barrier was broken, it was weeks later before the sound barrier was broken a second time. When a human went into orbit, it was only weeks later before someone else went into orbit. But we're saying that when it was so easy to walk on the moon when Nixon was president, and the only nation that can repeat the event is the same nation that claimed to have done it in the first place, and they can't do that for more than half a century later. Something is wrong with this picture. Technology does not go backwards unless the moon landings are real. And for the first time, technology has gone backwards. I mean, the space shuttle only goes 200 miles above the Earth. The moon is 250,000 miles away. That's 100,000% farther. And they're claiming to have gone 100,000% farther with four decades older technology and never killed anybody when the space shuttle killed 14 people going 200 miles above the Earth. I mean, if you had a globe of the Earth, the space shuttle would be going, you know, 3/4 of an inch above that 1 foot globe. And the moon is 30 globes away. So you're saying 4 decades ago we could go 30 feet away, and today we can only go 3/4 inch away from the scale of the Earth. That's totally illogical. You know, surely Japan would have been there. You know, the Soviet Union would have been there. China would have been there. The Soviets would have been there. The Soviets were so much more advanced than we were, launching the first animal, the first satellite, the first man, the first woman, the first spacewalk, the first crew of three, the first two crafts at the same time. They had 5 times the man-hours in space than we did, and they've never sent a human beyond Earth orbit. That's because it can't be done. And the U.S. lied about it, and then people say, well, how could you fool all those people? It's because, well, once they were on that rocket going up into Earth orbit, there's only 3 eyewitnesses and a TV picture controlled by the government, and all the ground crews are receiving bogus information from a computer program. And if the Soviets or the Chinese or the Israelis found out about it, they're not going to blurt that out free to the media. They're going to blackmail us. That's the smart thing to do, and I think we're being blackmailed by the Soviets, by the Chinese, by the Israelis. That we're being blackmailed. They know the moon landings are fake, and that's why we constantly make these unwarranted concessions. That's another good reason for the truth to come out, so we won't be blackmailed anymore. Why don't we just admit that we committed this adultery to history and to the nation, and then no one will be able to hold that power over our heads anymore. Maybe that's why the truth will set you free. Well, there's a lot of interesting things coming down the pike historically, you know, for mankind, truth-wise. I mean, the Bible implies that in the last days there will be an increase of knowledge. And some have sent me, Nostradamus' prediction that implies that something involving the moon will be of great humility and humbling and embarrassment to somebody in the future. So I'm hoping the truth is going to come out in the near future. I'm hoping the Obama administration is going to play a part in that. I'm hoping that the nation will become more honest, more truthful, that we'll admit our mistakes. I mean, that was one of the reasons why Kennedy was so popular and our lady Bush was so unpopular. Bush blamed everybody for all the mistakes, and Kennedy took responsibility for all the mistakes. And his approval rating was very high, and Bush's was very low. I think we need to go back telling the truth.
Oh, yeah. You said there is a page in a book that put out by Bill Clinton where he somehow had suggested your movie.
Well, yeah, I think it's on page 156. I'll have to double check that. But in Clinton's book, My Life, he talked about the moon landing. And he says that in 1969, he was working as a carpenter building a house, and with this older contractor carpenter, and when they allegedly landed on the moon, in the book, Clinton says, he said to the guy at the time, wasn't that, isn't this great? And the old man said to him, well, you don't really believe that, do you? And Clinton said back, well, what do you mean? And the old man said, well, those city people can make you believe anything they want you to believe. And then Clinton says this in his book, word for word, after spending 8 years in Washington, I came to believe that the old man was ahead of his time. There we have a president of the United States, a former president, saying that a man who thought the moon landings were fake in 1969 was ahead of his time. That's him saying that the moon landings are fake. That's his way of saying it. I mean, that's a pretty direct way, saying that an old man who thought the moon landings were fake was ahead of his time. He's saying he found out while he was president that the moon landings are fake, just like Bush found out, Obama's going to find out.
You don't think he was referring
to... pressure to keep it a secret, so to not embarrass him.
You said that old man. You don't think Clinton was referring to that Bill Casing guy, do you?
I think he was referring to just someone he was working with at the time. You know, as a young man, he did construction in Arkansas in 1969 before his political career. And he was just talking to a guy, you know, who was wise for his years. I mean, the Knight Ritter poll of 1969 said that 10% of the American public, which was about 20 million people, 20 million Americans in 1969 believed the moon landings were fraudulent. 1 out of 10 people said it's fake. They knew. They were adults at the time, and they sensed that they could pick up on something going on in society and the military, just like you and I are talking about what's going on with NASA now. These were those kind of people back then. When we were kids, they were saying, hey, look, the moon landings are fake. And since A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Moon came out, which is moonmovie.com, you know, that has increased to 15%. But now 15% of the public, we've had an increase of that of 50%, believe that the moon landings are fraudulent. That's a lot of people. You know, in America now, we're talking about 30 million people in America. 30 million people, 30 million voters believe that the moon landings are fraudulent, that the government lied about it. That's a lot of people. Now, maybe the minority, but 30 million people is still a lot of people. Imagine 30 million people doing a march on Washington, doing a march on the CIA. Do you think they could fight off 30 million people? We could break down the doors of the CIA and pull out the documents. We could do a march on Area 51, 30 million people could, and just say, open the gates, demand that the gates be open and see what's there. You know, what we'll find are probably the moon landing sets that they preserve in case we need to repeat going to the moon again.
You know, I find it interesting that over all these years, we've had the Hubble telescope up there, and it could see things millions of light years away, but they've never been able to convince people like me and you, the so-called conspiracy theorists, that we never went there. Well, how come they've never been able to point the Hubble right at the moon's surface to show us these, you know, leftovers from the Apollo moon landings, like the flag still sitting there and that?
Well, NASA's official statement is that, number one, there's no Earth-based telescope powerful enough to resolve the images on the moon. Now, apparently that may not be true anymore, that there are telescopes that are powerful enough that claim that they just don't want to waste their time pointing at the moon. But you better believe that there'd be some guy up there using 5 minutes to redirect that telescope and take a quick snapshot if there was anything left there. Now, also, according to NASA, they say the Hubble telescope is too powerful to focus on the moon, and therefore they wouldn't be able to do what they wanted to. Well, I heard through the grapevine, a friend of a friend met somebody who works on the Hubble telescope, and they said it absolutely could look at the moon and see landing sites if we wanted to. We just haven't wasted our time to do it. You know, the fact is that the generation at NASA now, even NASA astronauts potentially, really believe the moon landings are real, and of course they want them to believe it. They want everyone to be gung-ho about the space program. They want to be, you know, heroes. They want every person in space camp and every astronaut to believe that the moon landings are real. They want the Hubble people to believe it. They want the ground crews to believe it. They don't want that secret to get out. Now they have to get these people's cooperation in order to take a look with the Hubble at the moon, or with the telescopes at the moon, or with an orbiter orbiting the moon at the alleged moon landing sites, where there would be the bottom of the lunar module there, and the flag, and other equipment that they left behind. There's never been a single photograph to do it. I think because they'd have to get the cooperation of people who genuinely believe that the moon landings are real, who would then find out that they were phony, and they would probably have something to say about it.
I don't know if you ever got a chance to research what I had told you. There's this lady out there named Kathy O'Brien. She's got a book called Transformation of America. And She claimed to have been this sexual assault survivor from when Reagan was alive and from when Bush Sr. was alive, and she used to go out to Dick Cheney's ranch there in Wyoming, and they'd play these sexual predator games on her. Well, she mentioned in her book that NASA has these mind control facilities all over the country, and through this thing called Project Looking Glass, they've been able to mind control a lot of these astronauts.
Well, I've met 9 of the Apollo astronauts, and not many of them are really good liars. I mean, you can look at Neil Armstrong in the face, and a lot of people, from just seeing a few glimpses of the press conference that they gave in 1969, can tell from their expressions that they did not go to the moon. They looked defeated.
Yes, I clearly seen that.
And, however, the best liar was Eugene Cernan, who was on the very last mission. He had the benefit of all those fake missions that went before him, so that I have a theater background and a directing background, so I know a little bit about acting technique. And it was my impression that Eugene Cernan had taken acting classes by the way he conducted himself during the interview. That he simply visualized having been on the moon. But I don't know that he could actually be brainwashed, and I don't know that he would have to be brainwashed. I think that might backfire. I think in order to get somebody to participate in faking the moon landing and going on camera and claiming you walked on the moon, you'd want them sober-minded. And any type of mind control might play around with that. Now, what you could do is get them to do mock moon missions, and you could get them to fantasize about it. You could take them down psychological exercise that would help them visualize having walked on the moon. And therefore, when they talk about it, it comes across as being sincere. As far as what an HDTV, you've got some interesting things to say about that. We might want to talk about a discovery I made only a few weeks ago, which is I've been listening. You know, I don't have a TV anymore, believe it or not. I haven't watched the news very often, so I listen to it in my car on NPR every now and then. And under this naive impression that NPR might tell the truth every now and then. And I've noticed, because I have a watch that is linked to a satellite, and so it has exactly, you know, Universal Standard Time on it, that all things considered, the number one story on potentially the most free radio that's in existence in America is exactly at the 10-second delay. Now, when Richard Pryor was on Saturday Night Live and they were concerned that he might do some gesture, say a word that was inappropriate, they did a 5-second delay, and they considered that plenty of time to bleep out something that he might do. Well, all things considered, has a 10-second delay in it. And I have heard over the last couple of years times with their airwaves just go black. They don't go to static as if the radio transmission has been disconnected, but it goes to silence during an actual transmission as if something has been muted. Now, if NPR says something that someone doesn't want to be broadcast, they could easily have 10 seconds to mute that out. Now, here's the interesting thing about that. I call NPR in Washington, D.C. just a few weeks ago, and I speak with the person at Master Control during the actual broadcast. This is a guy who's got his finger on the on button and the off button for NPR worldwide. And I ask him, why do you have a 10-second delay? You know what he says? Do we have a 10-second delay? I wasn't aware of that. The guy wasn't even aware in Master Control that NPR has a 10-second delay. So I call the local NPR station where I live and talk to Master Control there, and he says, well, I'll tell you exactly why there's a 10-second delay. He says it's because of HD TV and radio. He says the new HD TV and radio, which is supposed to be so much more advanced in technology, is actually 10 seconds slower. Get this. This brand new technology, this digital high-speed technology, is deliberately 10 seconds slower. They've wired it, they've written the programming in such a way that it's broadcast 10 seconds after it's actually broadcast. So when everyone receives digital TV and digital radio, it's actually 10 seconds later than it actually occurring, so that they will have 10 seconds to interrupt it, twice as much time as they gave Richard Pryor in my first on my TV, right? And the FCC has passed a law that says the analog radios, which there's no way they could confiscate all the analog radios in America, right? So they've required that the analog radios be delayed 10 seconds behind or synchronized with the 10-second delay in the digital one. But now there's an FCC law that says the analog ones, which were live, now have to be delayed also 10 seconds so that they will be synchronized with the 10-second slower, fewer technology, right? Now, of course, it would be terrible if someone were listening to a baseball game and someone in Washington State heard that there was a home run 10 seconds ahead of someone in New York State, right? That would be the end of the world, right? So those have to be synchronized. So what they've done is not only are they building these mass prisons out west where you live, not only are they doing these things up in space for something coming down the pipe, not only is there greater media control by the deregulation, they have forced this new technology on us that is deliberately 10 seconds slower, so that, God forbid, there should be some independent analog radio transmission that they will have a 10 seconds to bleep out or disconnect before anything relevant is said, so that they completely have control over all the TV and all the airwaves. And this is something I only discovered a few weeks ago, that even the people at NPR and Master Control was not aware what's going on. And all this is just coming down the pike in order to best control the masses for potentially some global event that's going to happen in the near future.
Can I interject?
Sure.
I have my own thoughts on that. I've been connecting a lot of dots lately that they're probably going to launch some type of public health emergency soon, and it may start in Northeast Ohio around the end of this month. Well, I've heard Dr. Truott get on some radio shows, like Dr. Rebecca Carley's show on Republic Broadcasting Network, and he's mentioned that through the use of frequencies, they can introduce the bird flu pandemic to the population through the digital television. So I can't make a connection here, but with this delay you're talking about, it could be related to the bird flu thing. I don't know.
Well, I think one thing we have to understand and keep in mind is, with my discovery of about a month ago, the government has technology that is at least 30 years more advanced. Okay? Now, you just have to use your imagination a little bit and figure out, well, what with the current technology, if it grew on the current technology, you can do exponential thought experiments in your mind, and you can understand that they could, number one, do something that would be called a psychological pheromone. Now, the way that these drone ants and bees communicate with each other is because of pheromones they release. That's how they know to become more worker ants or head off in a particular direction or not. So what they could do is release psychological pheromones to the masses. Now, they don't even need to do this in the subliminal way you're suggesting. We'll move on to that in a second. They could do it by putting nothing but pizza and Burger King commercials on the air. I mean, it's even possible that they are deliberately fattening up America because there's going to be food shortages, and they're actually looking out for us. I mean, that's a possibility. But they could be deliberately putting stuff on our food and deliberately advertising all of this stuff to genuinely fatten us up for good purpose. Now, it's either one of two reasons. It's either an evil purpose. They want to, manipulate us through the medical system, or the aliens are going to come down and eat us or something. Or maybe they're genuinely being nice to us. Because with food shortages, a person who's 50 pounds overweight could go about 2 months without eating and live.
Well, doctor,
and, who knows? But what I'm saying is they could release psychological pheromones, which are news reports that cause panic buying or selling. But they could have been doing this for a long time. There could even be psychosomatic illnesses are pretty prevalent, and placebos sometimes work as a cure if you believe, this green pill is going to take your headache away, your headache goes away because of your belief in it. It is possible, I would say, to cause a flu or an epidemic that is somehow psychologically induced, either as a psychosomatic system or potentially to train the brain in some way to cause a particular malfunction in the body. That potentially could happen.
Well, I appreciate your insight on that. That's interesting. Dr. Truott mentioned, too, that all these chemtrails are spraying the skies, they may be seeding the population down so that once the digital TV is going to full force and effect in June, it's going to somehow activate this bird flu virus because they've already seeded our bodies with the stuff they're spraying from the chemtrails. Can you see that connection?
Well, I think a friend has warned me about putting heavy metals in your body. And when someone has a psychological disorder, the cure-all drug nowadays is lithium. It's heavy metal that you put in your brain. And it has been suggested that the great filmmaker who shot 2001 A Space Odyssey, Stanley Kubrick, was involved in shooting the first fake moon mission because that was his expertise. And that would certainly be one of the things they would have to do, either hire a general of the media department at the Pentagon or hire the best filmmaker on the planet and worry about security later, which is probably what they did. Now, in a movie of his that came out a few years beforehand called Dr. Strangelove, they had this crazy general, you know, on there, and of course a crazy character can't be trusted, right? Someone who's gone mad, who tries to get World War III started by saying that fluoridation is a conspiracy. Now, from what I understand, fluoridating water is now banned in Europe, which tends to be a little bit more progressive, theoretically, than the United States. And who knows if that's not the cause of Alzheimer's disease and all these other things going on. I mean, I'm not exactly sure what's going on, but if the moon landings are fake, and if 9/11 was a conspiracy, and if all these other Bilderberger people and the world is more corrupt and more greedy and more depraved than we've ever imagined, who's to say what's going on? It could be more horrific than we ever imagined. And there could be things in our diet that are put there deliberately for who knows what reason. And maybe having heavy metals in your brain make your brain better attuned for receiving subliminal radio images. I mean, who knows? Government can't be trusted. As soon as they come forward and say, we faked the moon landings, we're so sorry, we're going to send everybody an $800 check in the mail as a refund for faking the moon landing, then I might start trusting them. But until that day, you know, we have to be looking over our shoulder, I'm afraid. And we have to be praying for the good guys in the government who are trying to overthrow these corrupt entities that have taken over, you know, our society, our government, and the world, who are manipulating the truth, who are hoarding the truth, who are keeping the cure from diseases because they want to eradicate certain races on the planet because they're racist. There's all sorts of evil things going on, and it doesn't seem like it's getting any better. You know, the Bible says that in the last days there will be an increase in wickedness. Now, 20 years ago, the youngest murderer was a 14-year-old. 10 years ago, it was a 12-year-old, and 5 years ago, it was an 8-year-old. I mean, sin is like a fire spreading and exponentially gets worse and worse and worse. I turned on the Family Channel on cable, ABC's Family Channel, and watched two teenagers making out on the sofa. Now, I presume you think it's a family event because at least they're heterosexual and not homosexual. But the fact is that that same program aired when Kennedy was president, someone would have gone to jail. You know, the SBC would have sent out the FBI to the chairman of the board of that network and arrested him at his home that night if that very program I saw on the Family Channel today was on a network channel when Kennedy was president. That's just a fact. The increase of wickedness and sin and drugs, pornography and greed and corruption is just worse than it's ever been. And so we cannot be surprised if the government who fakes the moon landing and potentially kills 3,000 people in a day for their own purposes, who lets Pearl Harbor happen. Think of all those souls trapped inside those ships, begging to get out, who could not get out. That all that was done, you know, with forethought. It's a wicked, wicked world that we live in. That's why people need to go to their Bible. You know, I recommend any listener out there who loves God, heck, might as well go to DisciplesToday.org and go to Church Locator, visit a church and true Bible believers near you. I mean, the Bible is true. It says some hard things, you know, like God is a God of love, but God is also a God of judgment. It says that he postpones his wrath at the very end to get as much people the opportunity to repent as possible. You know, one of the parables in the Bible that seemed to upset people the most that Jesus taught was of a landowner who went out early in the morning around the town square where all the daily workers would hang out and said, well, come in my work in my vineyard for a day and I'll pay you a day's wage. Then around noontime, he went back out and there were still people there unemployed. He said, well, come work half a day and I'll pay you what's fair. And then he went out again an hour before sundown and said, well, come work an hour and I'll pay you what's fair. And then he told his assistant, we assume the landowner is God and his assistant is Jesus, to line people up in order to be paid, but line them up backwards. Have the people who work hour first in line, the people who work half a day second in line, and the people who work all day at the end of the line. Well, when the people who worked an hour came up first to be paid, he paid them a full day's wage. And when the people who worked half a day came up, he paid them a full day's wage. And when the people who worked all day in the heat of the sun got paid, he paid them a full day's wage. They complained and said, why are you paying the guys who work an hour equal with us? And he said, well, don't I have a right to do with my money what I want? Or are you envious because I'm generous? And I think the only thing that it calls for to be saved is to confess your sin. This applies to the government, too, to say the moon landings are fake, to admit their involvement in whatever, and then to stop doing it. You have to confess your sin and repent. And you can be a sinner 85 years of your life, and in the last week of your life, say, you know, I'm wrong, and I'm going to confess my sin, I'm going to turn myself in, and I'm going to not do it again. And you get eternal life. And that's the hope that lies out before people. You know, everyone wants to hold up John 3:16 in a football game because it's so easy. It says if you believe in Jesus, you'll be saved. But people fail to read what follows it. And it says this is belief, to obey. The book of James says that even the demons believe that Jesus is the Messiah, but that intellectual belief that he's the Messiah doesn't save them. And that's a false teaching. You can't just believe that Jesus is the Messiah to be saved. The Bible says you have to obey. You know, if you don't obey, if you don't repent, if you don't do what's right, then you really don't believe that the proof is in the pudding. And God is gracious. He'll let an 85-year-old murderer, child molester, change his ways and go to heaven. Hitler could go to heaven if he turned himself in the last days and let himself be executed and said, I was wrong. He would have gone to heaven to everyone's astonishment. And that's what before us and what is kind of grand about this great event that's coming down the pike, potentially. It's going to humble mankind, just like the Bible said it would. People are going to have to count the cost of their lives and their mistakes and how they've lived. And that's just the way it's going to be. And, it's, you know, everyone has an opportunity to do what's right. The government is made up of people. And we got to remember our founding fathers, and we got to stay patriots to them more so than our current government. You know, the first document said that we had the Declaration of Independence. We have the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. But it's my understanding that life was taken away from astronauts who would not cooperate in faking the moon landing, that they were murdered. And you cannot take away the life of people you promised to protect. That is wrong. That are we a government of the people, by the people, for the people, or not? Do you think the people, the majority, would have voted to lie and fake the moon landing, to cheat? I mean, that's what we accused Hitler of. That he cheated in order to win. He cheated at the Olympics. And here we were in the space race cheating in order to win. We've become the scoundrel we used to, you know, balk against. So, you know, if we're going to be a light on a hill, like Reagan says we're going to be, we're going to have to confess. I mean, Paul wrote most of the New Testament, but he used to kill Christians. And he admitted it. And he changed. And I think our government's got to do the same thing. We've got to make it a government of people again. It certainly is not. If it were, we wouldn't be having this conversation right now.
It's been an excellent broadcast here. I think I'm going to wrap it up because I'm kind of busy right now. having kids, it keeps you overwhelmed.
Well, it's been a great honor being on your show. You do good work. I really appreciate your radio show and your newsletter. There's amazing stuff in it. I'm surprised you're still out there on the web.
Yeah, you know, this is the fourth podcast I've done since I ended my live radio shows like 2 years ago. So, and I appreciate you checking out my newsletters. I'm going to continue to try to connect my dots and try to figure out what the hell's going on in this world.
Yep, there's a lot of stuff going down.
And if people want to go to your website, that's bart@sabrell.com, right?
Yep. Well, the Moon Movie website is moonmovie.com, and the film they should get is A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Moon. And my personal website is Sibrel.com, S-I-B-R-E-L.com. And then for any Christians out there or any would-be, wannabe, go to Disciple Today, DISCIPLES today.org, and then click on Church Locator at the top of the page and visit a church near you. They probably just meet in some hotel ballroom or something, kind of a low-key, family-oriented, you know, church of wannabe Christians trying to do what's right, trying to repent, full of many sinners who are just trying to strive forward.
And did you give your email out?
Yeah, they can reach me at bart@sibrel.com.
Okay. Well, that's all I can really think of. This is something I just kind of wanted to get out of the way. I wasn't really prepared for it today, so.
Well, there's plenty to talk about when it comes to the squirreliness of the federal government, isn't there?
Oh, I know. It never ends. It sure keeps a person busy, I got to admit.
Yep.
But anyway, Bart, I'm going to wrap this up, and I'll have this posted on my website probably within an hour, and keep up the great work, and we'll talk to you later.
All righty. Take care. Thanks for having
me,
Kevin.
Bart.